John 15. And you know, that's I feel like I'm not going to share anything new this morning, but I do feel like God has laid this message on my heart. It was a thought that came out of Sunday school, and we just come through studying through the book of John, and there's, you know how it goes, Sunday school hour is only half hour and you can only cover so much. But there's a thought that stood out to me when we studied John 15. Now, John 15 we could spend all day looking at. It's just a beautiful passage of scripture, talking about the vine and the branches, and oh, we could talk about that all day. We probably only scratch the surface. But there's a thought here in John 15 that stood out to me and I like to look at. But so I'm going to break in and starting at reading at verse 9, and I'm going to read to verse 17. John 15, verse 9. I'm breaking in. I should read the whole chapter, but we'll just start here. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye could keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, but the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I call you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. We'll just stop reading there. These verses stood out to me. Beginning of the chapter, he talks about how it's so important to be connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on and talks about love. How important it is, Jesus was telling his disciples the importance of love. And how the importance of how Jesus is saying how his heavenly Father has loved him. And he loves his Father. And how Jesus is saying, I'm taking this love. He said, I'm taking it and I'm passing on this love to you. I love you. And Jesus wanted his disciples in return to love him. And that is for us today. What's interesting, as I looked over these verses, and the key verse for the message this morning is verse 11. In between, love. Jesus inserts this thought of joy. And verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So this morning, I'd like to talk about joy this morning. I wonder why Jesus plugged joy in these verses. Then he goes on and talks about love. And he goes on and talks about this commandment I write unto you, that ye love one another. So in between this thought of love, he talks about joy. This morning, joy. That's the title of my message this morning, joy. And the question is this morning, do you have joy this morning? I see your faces this morning, just look happy. So hopefully that's the joy we're going to talk about. It's just a three-letter word. It's J-O-Y, joy. It's joy. There is joy this morning. We can experience joy. Whose joy is he talking about? Well, Jesus said, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. You know, this morning Jesus has something to offer each one of us. And that is joy. It's just that simple. It's just three-letter word. It's J-O-Y. Joy. It's joy. This morning, are you happy? Are you experiencing joy this morning? True joy? Happiness? That's what we like to talk about. You ever wonder what it would have been like if to be around Jesus when he was on this earth? Or if we would have had Jesus walk in these doors this morning, what would he have looked like? I believe there would have been one evidence that it would have been our Lord Jesus because of the joy he would have had on his face. I think his face would have radiant joy. That's who Jesus said in this, "These things have I spoken in that my joy." It's Jesus Christ's joy. It's not. Well, we're going to talk about how we can turn to other things for joy. But Jesus is saying, "This is my joy." My joy. My joy. I believe this morning Jesus was the most joyful person probably would have ever met. He was joy. He is full of joy. My joy would remain in you. Well, we know this morning that Jesus had a lot of other emotions as well. He wept. He had sorrow. He got tired. He even got angry. He had emotions. But he also had joy, true joy and happiness. Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy." Jesus is saying, "These things I'm going to tell you. And I want to drive this point across to you that my joy might remain in you." Jesus Christ, who is joy. This morning, Jesus Christ, who is joy, has something to give each one of us this morning. And this morning, if you're sitting here and you wonder if you have joy or not, open your life to your Lord Jesus. He has something to offer you this morning. If you feel like you're lacking joy or happiness, this is where you need to turn to. And this is where you're going to find it. This is where you're going to find it, that my joy might remain in you. And this morning we can turn to many things that we think will find true joy. You know, this morning we can go out here. And I know sometimes we're at a crossroad in life. We're like, is this Christian life worth living? And somehow we look out here and we think, you know, I believe it's out here. And don't fool yourself this morning, because that is, we talked about that in the Sunday school, how the devil is so deceitful. He wants to rob our Christian joy this morning. He wants to take that joy away, and he's going to say, you know, turn to this out here. This is where you'll find happiness. And before you know it, we turn to those things because you know how it is. Brother talked about sitting down having his devotions, before he pulled out his phone. And those are examples of the devil trying to get our attention off of the important things. And he wants to rob our joy this morning. And he will do it if we let him. This morning, we're not going to find joy out in our world today. But we need to turn to our Lord Jesus. Jesus said that my joy might remain in you. So often we think we can turn to many of the things. That's where we'll find true joy. Maybe if I just get a little more things. Or, you know, maybe if I get a better lifestyle. Or maybe if I just had a little more money in my back pocket. Or a little more money in my bank. And then I could just, I think then I would be happy. Or maybe sometimes, you know, we think, you know, that the grass is always green on the other side of the fence. That's where I have dairy, I have animals. And, you know, they're always crowding the fence. They're always trying to get their nose in the other side because it's a little greener over there, a little better. And that's often sometimes we, as Christians, live our Christian life. We just have a little better, like, so-and-so over here. Then I'll be happy. then I'll find true happiness. This morning, let me tell you, the things of this world are not going to bring happiness. More money ain't going to bring more happiness or true joy. Let's get that straight this morning. If you're pursuing the world and its glitter and its attractiveness so I can be happy, don't fool yourself. It's going to bring snares and unhappiness. So this morning, we cannot turn to the things of this world, and it will not bring true joy and happiness. The only way for each one of us, for you and I this morning, to have true joy is accepting what Jesus has to offer. And this morning, we'll find it. And our Heavenly Father can give that joy, and it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the joy we're talking about this morning. That's the joy that you and I need to be tapping into. That's the joy that's going to put the big smile on our face, even when I'm having a bad day. That's the joy that's going to put the smile on me that can, when I'm facing a hardship in my life. And sometimes we face them, and sometimes the tears come to your eyes, whatever that is. But somehow we have to smile through those times. Because we rely on this joy that our Heavenly Father has given us. True joy. That my joy what might remain in you. I thought of the children's songs. I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. You know, we sing that song. Do we really mean what we're singing? Is that where your joy is this morning? Is it rooted and grounded in your heart? I hope it is. I believe this morning, as children of God, as Christians, today we should be the most happy and joyful people around. I think we should be. The people around us should realize that we are a follower of Jesus because of the expressions and expressions of our lives. It needs to be deep down in my heart. And sometimes I meet other Christians or Mennonite people. And everything else might be in place, but you wonder, where's the joy? And this morning, this joy just needs to come forth from our lives. And I know we're all different. We're all made different. Some of us are more expressive than others. But we need to, each one of us, have that true joy that's deep down in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for us and is doing. True joy is more than just being funny and having a good time, getting together and just being joking and laughing, and you know, that's not the true joy I'm talking about. The devil wants to tell you that this morning. You know, if you get together and just have a high, jolly old time where we're just, that's not true joy. I'm not saying you can't have a joy, laughing and having a good time. But you want, I mean, the giddy and the laughter, over-the-top joy. It's not lasting, deep-rooted joy. That's what I'm talking about this morning. True joy is being happy or having a smile. Smiling through my tears, like I mentioned. It's being joyful when I'm having a bad day. Or what mood I am. Well, sometimes we cry on the wrong side of beds, we say. We just feel a little, don't even feel like facing this day. And, it, you know, we let the weather affect our mood sometimes. And we, you know, right now it's so sunny. And we just, we like sunny weather. I do anyway. Rainy, dreary weather can make us, can we smile? It's amazing how weather affects people. You meet people and the first thing they do is complain about the weather. Boy, I wish it would rain once, or I wish the sun would shine. If it does rain, and how are we this morning? How are we this morning? Are we joyful? Verse 11, that my joy might remain in you. And what else does he say? Jesus is saying that I want my joy to be in you this morning, and in me, and in each one of us. Do you have joy this morning that Jesus has to offer you this morning? Is that your testimony? But what else does he say? These things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And I guess this verse just stood out to me. Jesus is saying that my joy needs to remain in you. And so that your joy is full. How full is your joy this morning? Is it like this cup? How full is your, if you would measure your joy this morning, is it almost full? Or is it filled, running over? How full is your joy this morning? The Amplified says, I have told you these things, that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full, measured, complete, and overflowing. I like that. I like that this morning. Complete and overflowing. Is that your testimony this morning? Is your joy complete, full, and overflowing? Do you ever meet someone that has that kind of a testimony? And they're just joyous. Don't matter what, every time you meet them, they're full. And it's usually, if you evaluate their life, it's usually not because everything went well for them. Or everything just was a bed of roses. But through those tough times and trials of their life, they found true joy and happiness. Sometimes it takes those difficulties that help us to find joy. get what I mean? And if we had everything going, if everything handed to us and everything would just go well, and how would we actually be? But sometimes it's the trials of life that come. Then I can actually have a choice this morning. How am I going to let that trial affect my life? How am I going to let this disappointment affect my life? How am I going to let whatever affect me? I can choose one or the other. I can choose to take my joy. Or I can say, Lord, bring it on. I want my joy to be full and overflowing. And I somehow look at the positive side of life and dwell on that instead of the negative. Those are true joys. Well, when drawing closer to God brings true joy and happy things. When things are going well, we feel joyful and happy. When hardships come, we sink into depression. Or we can. And it's so easy to lose our joy and happiness. And that is real. That's how we're made. We have a nature within us that disappointment zaps our joy. It puts it out. But this morning, true joy transcends these ways of all circumstances. Joy comes from a consistent relationship with Jesus Christ. When our lives are intertwined with Jesus, He will help us through the adversities without sinking into depression. And if we felt, even though we felt we lost our song, the joy of living with Jesus keeps us level-headed. No matter how our circumstances or what we're going through, this morning, in all areas of life, whether if it's those mountaintops or those valleys, our anchor needs to be in our Lord Jesus. This morning, there's many things the world can offer us to get through a low and a valley. But Jesus is saying, my joy should remain in you and your joy should be full. That is I believe this morning, that is all circumstances of life. I need to be tapped into Him. That is where I'm going to find true fulfillment in life. And true joy and happiness. This morning I can go out here to the world. The world has nothing to offer this morning. When it comes to this subject of true joy and happiness. And it's so easy to turn to the things of this world. Whatever it is. To find true joy and happiness. And whatever. But true joy is being rooted in my Lord Jesus. And being committed no matter whatever I'm going through. So this morning, how full of joy is your life today? Jesus said that your joy might be full and running over. 1 John 1:4 says, John wrote, and these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. John wrote about that. He's echoing the words of Jesus. Heard Jesus say it. He penned those words as well. That your joy might be full. John 17:13. Now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Well, the question is this morning, and this is the most important question, how can I experience full joy that Jesus is talking about here in John 15 and some other verses I just mentioned? How can I experience the joy of the Lord of my life? How can I experience it? May you feel like you're here this morning, you're not sure if you're connected to this joy or not. How can I experience true joy? Well, this morning we could back up and read the first how many verses of John 15. This morning, that is the answer of true joy. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This morning, the answer for true joy and happiness is we need to be connected to our Lord Jesus. This morning, we need to be connected as the vine to the branch. This is where I'm going to find the joy of my Lord. You know, this morning we could try to be so hard on our own strength. We could try to be the most jolly, happy people around. We could try to act like we're okay. But this morning, if this is lacking in my life, that I'm not connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, all my labors are going to be in vain. This is the bottom line answer this morning, that I need to be connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. Because through the vine is where I find my strength. My life, my sap, you could say it, as it flows through the vine and through the branch. We are as the branch, you need to connect it to the vine. We can read these verses. When there's a cutoff or disconnect, what happens to the vine? It will dry up and die. And that is exactly what Jesus is saying. And so this morning, the only way for you and I to have true joy and happiness is to be connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. And there you will have joy. And we all remember when we gave our hearts to the Lord, what did that do to us? It just made us to have joy, didn't it? When that load of sin just rolled off our back, it put a smile on our face and a song on our heart, didn't it? I hope it did. That is the joy of the Lord, what he does for you and I this morning. And as Christian believers, we need to continue in my joy. As we walk with the Lord each day of our lives, as we grow closer to our Lord, the joy just needs to come pouring forth from our lives. And our joy needs to continue to grow and grow and grow. And the only way that is done, when we are connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. So the key to immeasurable joy is living close in contact with him, who is the source of all joy. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that? When I'm connected to my Lord Jesus, and living a life for him, every day of my life will bear fruit. And one of those fruits is joy. It'll be joy. And the more I'm connected, the more committed, the more closer I am, the more joy I will experience. Believe me. You can go over to Galatians 5. Paul is talking about the walking in the flesh or the spirit this morning. And this morning, there are contrary ones. Paul talks about the contrary one to another. There's a pull to the flesh, pull to the spirit. We're bombarded with that every day. Who am I going to serve? What choices am I going to make today? How am I going to live my life today? Is it going to pull to the flesh or pull to the spirit? And Paul plainly explains in that chapter that if I am going to give in to my flesh and live a life of flesh, these are the outcomes of a fleshly desired life. It is so clear. And sometimes we wonder why we can't have victory in our life. Why? Who are we serving this morning? Who are we walking after? Who are we filled with? Are you walking in the flesh? And he gives a whole list of outcomings of those works of darkness that are going to come from our lives. But if we're walking in the Spirit, this is what your life is going to produce, Paul says. And it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love. Joy, he talks about. And on and on and on he goes. Gives a whole list of that, of evidence of fruits of living a Spirit-filled life. So simple. And yet, it's hard to live out as Christians, isn't it? Talking from experience. It is hard to, so many times, just be fully connected to my Lord Jesus. Just having my focus on Him and living that Spirit-filled life. But Jesus says it, Paul says it, if you are connected to the vine, Paul said, if you're walking in the Spirit, this is going to be the evidence. That's why that big smile's on your face this morning. That's why you have joy in your heart this morning. That's why you can have joy going through a difficult valley time of your life. And that you can see smile through your tears because you have the joy of the Lord. And that's why your neighbor looks at you and says, why are you so different? Why do you take life on a different meaning? Why are you so happy? You are different than the majority out here of the town or of your community. It's because you have the joy of the Lord. But it's only going to happen when I'm connected. Evidences of the workings of my life, the outward evidences of the workings of my life, will produce a life of joy. Well, this morning, I got to keep moving. We have so many things and blessings today that can cause us to be joyful. And that we can have joy in our hearts. I'm so thankful for the Lord Jesus and what He has done for us. I don't know if you ever think about that. The great gift of salvation. He was willing to go to the cross and to die and shed His blood. That I can be saved and experience true joy. This morning, that is our real blessing. If it had been for my Lord Jesus and what He has done there at the cross of Calvary, I don't think I could experience this true joy. I had to think of Hebrews 2. Talks about, Hebrews 12, I should say. I just love these verses. Verse 1, therefore, seeing that we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay every side away and sin that doth easily beset us. Talking about now as Christians, what are we to be doing? He says that let us run with patience the race that He has set before us. You know, we can look back and we see, you can go to read Hebrews 11. There's these old Bible accounts, men and women that stood strong for the Lord. Whatever they faced in their day were faithful. They could run the race. Oh, that should inspire us. Whether if it's the old heroes of faith, or maybe it's an old faithful grandpa, or whoever lived a life of faithfulness should inspire us as we run the race. But he also says, looking unto Jesus, as we run the race this morning, we have our focus on our Lord Jesus. He is the author and the finish of our faith. Who for the what?
Joy.
Exactly. Who for the joy? He did what? He that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy, He went to the cross for joy. I believe He did. For you and I this morning, so you and I can experience true joy this morning. I believe that's the only way. He done it this morning. Despising the shame and for the joy set before us. despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father. Oh, why? We just can't grasp what our Lord Jesus had done. So you and I can experience true joy. What a blessing. Psalm 95. Another thing that I can be so thankful. The psalmist says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make what? He says, a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms. For he is for the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. This morning, as we just stop and think of our great God, he is the rock of our salvation. I tell you what, this morning, I don't know, as Christian believers this morning, as we see the times we are living in, are you so glad for the rock of his salvation that you and I can rest in and be assured of that this rock ain't going to move? That doesn't promise what's going to rattle out here in our world today. That doesn't matter what we're going to face yet today or this in our lifetime or next year. I don't know. But the rest of assurance that our God is the rock of our salvation. Oh, that brings joy to our hearts, don't it? It should. As we think of God, the rock of our salvation. Oh, come, let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise. Let's swell our hearts with joy for the rock of our salvation. You know, this morning we could be doomed for the pit of hell this morning. Or we could be out here lost and not knowing how to find. We are so blessed. And do we all stop and think what God has done for us and the joy you and I can experience because the God of our salvation. To me, that just blessed my heart. So let's sing for joy. Let's praise his name. Going over here yet, I got to keep moving here. 1 Peter 4. Peter talks about First Peter 4, verse 12. You know, this morning we don't like to talk about hard times, bad times, trials. That you know, we've been so blessed living in a good land and for many, many years. We don't know what's down the road. I'm not here to put fear in your hearts. But Peter said this that stood out to me. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, not think it strange concerning the fire trials that has tried you, as though something strange thing happened unto you. But what are we supposed to do, brothers and sisters? But rejoice! What? That goes against human reasoning, right? I don't like to think of trials this morning. Peter talks about fiery trials. Now, if there's a man that had any fiery trials in his life, it was probably Peter. And sometimes, and what is Peter says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, it may be glad also with exceedingly joy. This morning, our little bit of trials, we can call them fiery trials. Let's not let them lose our joy. Because as we think of Christ's suffering, and that we just talked about the joy it was for him, and the joy you and I can have, and the joy that is going to come when I endure to the end. That's what Peter is saying here. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye know the partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, that ye may be also with exceeding joy. You know what trials do for us? Takes the focus of ourselves and it points us to something better. And we don't like trials, but trials, if we allow them, can make us better Christians, better believers. And if all we have, and we have one hope we can cling on is the joy of our Lord Jesus that is going to soon come and take us out of this trial, out of this life, and to have joy with our Lord for eternity. Brothers and sisters, let's hang in there. Let's not become discouraged. Let's not lose our way. Let's not get our focus off of Him. And if it is trials, fiery trials that we're going to face, let's endure them with joy. Our Lord Jesus did. It wasn't easy for Him to go to the cross. And you can go down through the Garden of Gethsemane and the agony and what He did. But He went to the cross, despising the shame, but with the joy. He did it. Can we, as brothers and sisters this morning in 2024, have the joy of the Lord in our hearts every day of our life, even if we're facing a fiery trial? Verse 14, if ye be reapproached in the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you, and their part is speaking evil of, but on your part He is glorified. Just keep on reading there. This morning, the promises. What is coming? So let's get our focus. We cannot just focus on the trial or the moment, but realize this suffering will someday be rewarded in heaven with exceedingly joy. One last, in Jude 24. One last verse for you all here before closing. It's a benediction now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glorified majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever, to keep you knowing that He is there to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Brothers and sisters, let's stay connected to our Lord Jesus today and every day of our lives. Let us allow this moment of time to have the joy of our Lord for now and think about the reward that's coming, brothers and sisters. Oh, we don't want to miss it for a little bit of pleasure that the devil thinks we might find out here of joy and happiness. Forget it. The joy of serving the Lord, a living life for Him, will be rewarded in eternity forever. Well, there will be joy forever. Let's pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we